Welcome to Life Church of Mobile's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll enjoy.
I remember, you know, just a few days ago when I graduated. Just a minute. But it was fun. It's funny because when you graduate high school, you think that was the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. And then you go out in the real world and you're like, can I just go back to high school real quick? But anyway. Well, this morning, I want to talk to our graduates, but I want to talk to all of us as well. 2 Kings chapter 5 is where we're going to start this morning. And I feel like the Lord wants to be practical this morning in what I want to talk to you about. But 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to read about a man named Naaman. So starting at verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel that said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.' And then it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.'" In other words, he's just looking for a fight. "So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.'" Verse 11, "But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." The Bible doesn't really tell us a whole lot about Naaman, but it does tell us that he's the commander of the army, he was very successful, that he had been victorious in battle. And so we know that through his life, he had accomplished a lot of things. Right? You don't get to be the commander of the army if you haven't done a thing or two. And done them well, right? You don't get to be called successful and called honorable by the king of a nation if you don't have a little bit of integrity and character. So Naaman had all these accomplishments, had all these accolades. He had done all these things. But the Bible tells us that he finds himself in a situation that was outside of his control. He was a leper. And not only was he a leper, but if you read through the Bible, Lepers were basically outcast in this day and time. They were not allowed to intermix with general public. They couldn't just go and do as they please. And so the Bible doesn't tell us that when Naaman was struck with leprosy that he lost his title. So Naaman's trying to balance and figure out how to command the armies and have leprosy at the same time. And like a lot of us, man, you guys that we're celebrating this morning, you've made some accomplishments. You've achieved some things. You've made it through high school. You've made it through college. And like many of us that, you know, just graduated a few days ago, many of us, we've made some accomplishments in our life as well. But sometimes we found ourselves in situations that we've had no control over, that we really didn't even ask for. Just like Naaman, he had done all the things. He had had goals, and he had went out to battle, and he had went out to war. But he finds himself in this place that he did not ask for. And many of us, if you haven't yet, you probably will find yourself in a similar situation. It's not something you ask for, and it's not something you can control. You didn't ask to be let go from that job that you've been at for years. You didn't ask for those divorce papers. While we were in worship this morning, I heard Holy Spirit say there's a marriage that He wants to restore this morning. And I don't know if you're in here, I don't know if you're watching online, but there's a marriage He wants to restore this morning. You don't have to struggle and you don't have to fight. He wants Holy Spirit to come in and put that thing back together better than it was before it broke. But we find ourselves in situations that we don't have control over. And a lot of times, like Naaman, Naaman says that he hears and he goes to the prophet. In the Old Testament, the prophets were a representation of God. So he hears about a possible solution to his problem. So he takes his problem to God. And like many of us, when we encounter those situations that we have no control over and those tough situations in life, we take them to God. Right? We show up and we say, God, I can't do it. Naaman could not heal his leprosy. Naaman couldn't do a thing about his current condition. So he went to somebody that he heard who could. But verse 11 tells us that Naaman showed up looking for a miracle. Naaman showed up because it says that he thought Elisha was going to come out to him. And he was going to call on the name of the Lord. And he was going to wave his hand over him and his leprosy would be healed. And a lot of times when we come to God with our issues and our problems and the places in our life that we need breakthrough, that's what we expect. You know, I'm praying and we expect God to just show up or somebody lays their hands on us or we get anointed with oil and somebody prays over us and we expect just that supernatural, miraculous moment that's going to shift everything. And this is what Naaman was looking for. This is what he was expecting. But the Bible says that he almost missed what he was looking for. Because when he showed up looking for a miracle, he didn't get a miracle. What he got was instructions. And so this morning, I want to encourage us. Because a lot of times, and see, here's the thing that I've learned about God, not just through studying in the Word, but through my own experience. He's going to do what's most beneficial for you. Because in Jeremiah, he says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. And what I think about you is that I want to bless you and to prosper you, but I want it to be to give you hope for a future. And so what God's going to do when He shows up and He moves in your life, He's going to move in the way that benefits you the most, not necessarily the way you want it. Right? We all know this old saying, maybe y'all can help me out. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. God's not interested in feeding you for a day. God's interest is sustaining you throughout the life. The long life that He's going to bless you and prosper you with. Right? And so when God shows up, He's going to work in the way that benefits you the most, but sometimes we're like Naaman and we almost miss out on it. Because it's not the way we were expecting it, and it's not the way we were looking for it. So I want to encourage us this morning so that we don't miss what God has for us. Because yes, you can go through the Bible and you see account after account where Jesus showed up and healing took place instantly and deliverance happened instantly. But you also see where Jesus showed up and instructions were given and the breakthrough came after the instruction. Right? John 9 tells us that Jesus spit on the ground, put it on a blind man's eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus, He's blind. He can't see to get there. But the Bible tells us He went and washed and He came back seeing. John, I think it's John 11 that tells us about Lazarus being raised from the dead. But before He called to Lazarus, He told them to move the stone. And it was only after they moved the stone that He spoke to Lazarus. Right? There's the story of the 10 lepers that were healed. 10 lepers come to Jesus looking for healing. He said, go show yourself to the priest and you'll be cleansed. And the Bible tells us that as they went, they were cleansed. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know about y'all. How many of you have read that story? And it said, as they went, they were cleansed. So in my mind, it's like they're talking to Jesus. Jesus said, go wash. So they turn around and before they get like from here to the door, They were healed. Anybody, that's kind of how you read it? I was thinking about this the other day. What if it didn't happen that way? What if Jesus tells them, go show yourself to the priest, you'll be cleansed. So they turn around, they start walking, and they're walking, and maybe they're having conversation with each other. They're headed towards the temple because they're going to find the priest. And let's say they get about halfway to the temple, and they start looking, and they're like, I've still got these sores. Hey, any of your sores went away yet? No. And so they keep walking. And now they're getting closer to the temple and they're still not clean yet. What if they didn't get cleansed until they were right there at the door of the temple? Because what if they would have got halfway there, saw that they still had leprosy and said, know what? Man, this ain't gonna work. I'm going home. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how far they walked. This is just how it's working in my mind. But instruction is key to our life because the Bible tells us that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. Right? So there's instruction for us. Even in 1 and 2 Kings, we see similar stories of a widow that was about to die, lose her sons, and the prophet comes in, and oil and flour is multiplied, and their lives were spared and sustained, but it was only after they followed instruction. And so I want to help us this morning because there's some things that we can see from Naaman's story because he almost missed it. He almost missed it because it says that when the prophet didn't even tell him, he sent a messenger out and told him to go wash. And the Bible says that Naaman went away angry. He went away furious. And he almost missed out on the thing he came looking for. So I want to help us this morning so we don't miss it. So the first thing I want us to see out of Naaman's story is don't let your thoughts take over. Just as Holy Spirit's already talked to us this morning. Because verse 11 says, but Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed I said to myself, some translations may say, indeed I thought that he's going to come out to meet me, and he's going to call on God and wave his hand over it, and the leprosy will be healed. See, Naaman went away, and he went away angry because it didn't happen the way he thought it was going to happen to. I think I mixed up a couple words there, but y'all know what I'm saying. It didn't happen the way Naaman thought it was going to. And so he went away angry. He was willing to walk away because he let his thoughts take over. Our thoughts are vitally important to us because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that's why we have scripture, like Pastor mentioned this morning. Take every thought captive. Not just the good ones, not just the bad ones, every thought. And I've explained it to the young people like this. Those bad thoughts, the ones that don't line up with the Word of God, you take them captive and you lock them away somewhere over here where they can't bother you. Right? The good ones, Brother Roy, can I borrow you for a second? Come up here with me, please, sir. The good ones, you take them captive and you chain them to you. Right? The bad thoughts are back there. They can't get away. And the good ones are right here. They can't get away either. And so if we don't guard our thoughts, what's going to happen is the ones that are back here are going to get out and they're going to overtake us and they might push these out of the way. Thank you, sir. But we're to take every thought captive. The Bible gives us scripture about renewing our mind, right? There's scripture after scripture that talks about our thoughts and the intents of our heart and not letting... The Bible even gives us instructions on specific things to think about, right? Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is of good report, whatever is praiseworthy. He said, think on these things. Why? Because if we let our thoughts take over, then we're going to be like Naaman and we're going to miss out on what God has for us. Right? Because I don't know about you, but have you ever went down a rabbit hole in your thoughts? Right? That one creeps in. Right? Let's say, you know, service is over, everybody's out in the lobby talking, and you see Pastor walking through, right? And Pastor, I'm sure this situation's never happened to you ever before in ministry. Right? But you see Pastor walking and you go to speak and he keeps walking. Right? And so you have this thought, well, I wonder why he didn't speak. Right? But instead of just letting it go, because Pastor may have had something on his mind and been on a mission, right? Because I know I get that way. If I'm focused on something, I'm like blinders. So if I've ever appeared rude, I'm sorry. But instead of letting that thought go, you think about it. You're riding home and you're thinking, I wonder why Pastor didn't speak to me this morning. He didn't shake my hand, didn't give me a hug, didn't nothing. I wonder, did I do something to make him mad? And you're at home, and it just keeps going, and you get to the place, well, maybe he just don't care that much about me. Maybe I'm just not significant enough. And so weeks roll on, and these thoughts are still playing, and eventually you're mad, and you're angry, and you want to leave the church because you feel invisible, and nobody cares about you. And what happens is now you leave the church, right? It's like, y'all, what was it, the dish commercial or the cable commercial? Right, your cable went out, so you end up like in jail for the rest of your life because all these things happen. I don't remember. But now you're angry and you want to leave the church, so you go to the next church. But the problem is you carry those thoughts with you. And so the same situation probably happens there. So you leave that one, go to the next one. And what happens is you never get planted, grow roots. And so you never grow to the maturity that God's asking you to grow into. And so you never receive the full benefit of what he has for you. All because you let a thought take over. Naaman almost missed his healing because he let his thoughts take over. It didn't happen the way I thought it was going to. I thought I would have had that promotion by now. I thought my kids would have come back home by now. I thought I would have been done dealing with this issue by now. But what I want to tell you is it don't matter what you think up here. What God thinks is... You know why in John, when Mary and Martha went to get Jesus and they said, your friend Lazarus is sick. You know why he stayed where he was at for 4 more days? I heard it said like this, and it rocked my world. I don't remember who said it. Jesus stayed where he was at for 4 more days. He wasn't worried because he was already living in the day Lazarus was resurrected. It may not be happening the way you think it's going to happen, but Abba is already living in the day when that healing's there, when that promotion's there, when your marriage is restored, when your kids come back home, when this prodigal box, wherever it's at, is empty. He's already living in that day. So even though it's not happening the way you thought it would, or as quickly as you thought it would, or in the manner you thought it would, don't get stressed. Because the way you thought it should happen may not be the best way for you. Naaman almost missed it because he let his thoughts take over. Right? I thought he was going to come out and lay his hands on me. Instead, he going to go tell me to take a bath? And he went away angry. And the second thing we've got to do is not let our senses try to make sense out of it. Don't let your senses, what you see, what you hear, what you feel, try to make sense out of what God's doing in your life. So verse 12, he's mad because it didn't happen the way he thought it would. Or verse 11. Verse 12, he says, aren't there better rivers over here in Damascus? Why do I need to go wash in the Jordan? He's trying to make sense out of it. And again, so verse 12, it says, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And again, it tells us, so he turned and went away in a rage. And I was curious when I was studying this out, because the Bible says that Elisha was in Samaria, right? Naaman's talking about rivers in Damascus. He's commander over Syria. So I had to pull up a map. I guess, where's all this at? So he's talking about these two rivers are better than all the water in Israel, but they're also closer. Because if you look at a map, Samaria is kind of like mid-ish Israel. Damascus is like across the border, you know, in Syria. So Naaman's like, isn't there better ways of doing this that wouldn't require as much effort? See, he's trying to make sense out of it. There's better water that I can go take a bath in. Why can't I just go wash in them? Oh, by the way, it wouldn't have taken me this long to get here either. They're closer to my house. I could go wash in. I could wash 15 times in them and still make it back home for supper. Right? But Naaman's trying to make sense out of it. And because it didn't make sense to him, again, it tells us that he went away in a rage. How many of you know when God shows up in your life, it don't make sense? God's not in the business of making sense. Because if it could make sense, we wouldn't need God. Right? God, I don't understand why I'm doing this. It doesn't. God, I think I know a better way to do this. You ever had that thought? If we're being honest, most of us probably have. You may not have said it out loud, but we've had that thought once or twice, right? God, I know this is what you told me to do, but can't we do it this way? It's a lot easier. It won't take as much time. It won't involve as much resources or, you know, whatever. And it may not, but at the same time, it won't grow you the way he's trying to grow you. Because remember, God's ultimate goal is not to feed you for a day. It's not really even to deal with your issue. It's to grow you into maturity. Right? Now, part of maturity is being whole. And wholeness means no broken, no sickness, nothing missing, right? Everything is as it should be. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is that as you're going through this process, he's growing you up to where you're not looking for somebody to give you a handout. Right? And that's what Naaman was looking for. That's what you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Why? Because he doesn't know how to get it himself, essentially. And while we know we're not responsible to deal with all the issues on our own, we don't have to have somebody lay hands on us. We don't have to have all the things, right? And sometimes God gives us instruction instead of the miracle because he wants to teach us so we don't end up in that situation again. Right? And if God did everything the way we could make sense of it, then we would probably try to take credit for it. Right? But when it happens and there's no way to explain it, when it happens and there's no other case or there's no other study to compare it to, when it happens and it's completely different from what you thought, there's no other thing to say other than it was just God. Even if it comes at the obedience of instruction, because we have to play our part and obey, right? The blind man had to find his way to the pool, but he didn't heal himself. The lepers had to make their way to the temple to find the priest, but they didn't get rid of their sores. If we're not careful, our senses will overrule us, and they'll talk us out of what God's trying to lead us into. And that's why the Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Right? Because when God leads us into things, it's not always going to make sense. It didn't make sense for Peter to step out of the boat and step onto water. That all of history tells you that you don't walk on top of water. It didn't make sense. Joshua, it don't make sense. Why we got to go around this wall and around this wall and around this wall? It don't make sense. Gideon, it don't make sense to take 300 people to fight against, what was it, 10, 20,000? It don't make sense. And then you going to tell us to scream and throw some water pots down on the ground too? God's not appealing to your senses. He's appealing to your spirit. You have to let your spirit lead and your senses take a back seat. Because it's not always going to look normal or acceptable or reasonable. It's not always going to sound like something that you've heard before. It's not always going to feel like something you felt before. Naaman couldn't make sense out of it, so he almost missed it. But thank God he had some people in his life that would not let him throw his pity party. Yeah, I tell you, I love, Pastor says it all the time, we're better together. You need people. Because the Bible tells us, the Bible don't just tell us he's mad. He's angry, he's enraged, he's furious. He probably kicked the chariot when he went back to it. He's kicking rocks. He's big mad. But the Bible says the servant comes to him and says, hey, listen, I'm going to need you to chill out for a second. Right? Has anybody ever successfully calmed down when somebody told you to calm down? Right? Husbands, don't we know better? You don't tell your wife to calm down when she's angry because we value our life. But Naaman had people around him, Right? Because this isn't Naaman's friends. This is Naaman's servants. Right? So they had to be extra careful. Because in this day, Naaman probably had the authority to have them killed if he got mad at them. But he had some people around him that were not afraid to step up and say, hey, I'm going to need you to chill out for just a minute and let's think about this. Right? Because verse 13 says, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? You got to pay attention to who's around you. Because the people that are going to get in the pit with you and the people that are going to pat you on the back and say, oh, I understand, it's okay. Right? There's a difference between comforting and enabling. Right? We all need people that will wrap their arms around us and say, it's going to be okay. I'm here with you. But we need people that aren't going to stop there. They're gonna tell you it's gonna be okay because I'm gonna help you get through this. I'm gonna walk this out with you. I'm gonna fight this battle with you. I'm gonna pray with you. I'm gonna go to therapy or go to the doctor or go to whatever has to happen. I'm gonna be there with you. And Naaman had people around him that weren't gonna let him leave without getting what he came to get. You need people around you that aren't going to let you quit right before you get your breakthrough. I don't care if you've been praying about it for 3 years, 10 years, 30 years. You need people around you that's going to say, you know what, let's keep praying for it. I don't care if you've been trying and failing all your life. You need somebody around you that's going to say, let's try again. Let's try again. Because having the right people around you makes all the difference in the world too. Studies have shown when people go to the gym and work out, that if you work out with a partner, I forget what the percentage is, but you can lift significantly more weight if you're working out with someone that's there. Because if y'all ever been at the gym, it's a whole different world, right? When Joy and I first got married, the church that we kind of interned at, a lot of us, we'd go to the gym. And on Sunday morning, we were nice and respectful. We addressed everybody as pastor, you know. But at the gym, all that went away. It was trash talk and a lot of yelling. But that's how we encouraged each other. That was just our relationship. And science tells us that when you have that encouragement, you can lift more weight than if you're in there just by yourself. And it has nothing to do with your physical ability. It's just that you have that encouragement. You have that. You're feeding off of their energy. We need people in our life that we can feed off their energy. Because it's not really that we have more talent, we have more ability. It's just that we have somebody beside us that won't let us quit. Right? One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. That don't make sense, because if one can do 1,000, then two should do 2,000, right? But again, we're not trusting our senses. Amen. Have people around you that'll hug you when you need it and push you when you need it more. Right. If Naaman didn't have the right people around him, they would have let him leave angry. And now he would have had leprosy and been angry. But the last thing I want us to see in this is that when God does come and give instruction, because sometimes the answers we're looking for, like I said, they're not through people laying hands on you. They're not through services like we had this morning in the altar. It's not through anything like that. It's through God giving you instruction and your obedience to that instruction being the breakthrough that you're looking for. And when that happens, the last thing I want us to see out of Naaman's story is don't overlook the simplicity of the instruction. Because Naaman's servant came to him and said, hey, if he would have told you to do something great, you would have done it, right? If he would have told you to fast for 40 days, you would have done it. If he would have told you to give away, you know, half of your assets, all of your assets, if he would have told you to do something great, you would have done it. And I think the reason the servant was able to say this, and I think it's true for some of us too, because again, if it came through something like that, we would have been able to brag a little bit. Right? Well, how did this happen in your life? Oh, I fasted for 40 days. We would have been able to take some of the credit. Well, how did you get to this spot? I gave away everything I had. I'm so honorable. All I need you to do is go show yourself to the priest and you'll be healed. Simple. All I need you to do is walk around this wall and just shh. All I need you to do is go dip in this river 7 times. It's the simplicity in it that, because what good is taking a bath, right? I hope Naaman had a habit of bathing daily, right? Because they didn't have deodorant back then, so it would have been way worse. So I hope he had this habit of bathing every day. And the instruction he was given was to do something that he probably already did daily. Right? Joshua, we've already been around this wall 6 times. I don't see how this next round's going to be any different. God, I've already prayed about this till I'm blue in the face. I don't see how one more time's going to be any different. See, sometimes we overlook the simple instructions that God gives because we've already tried it and it hasn't worked yet. Jesus, we've been out here fishing all night. I don't understand what throwing the net out one more time is going to do. See, sometimes God just wants to know if you're going to trust. Because most of the time when he gives instruction, that's all it's about anyway. It's not about your ability to follow. It's not about your intellect to be able to understand what he's saying. It's simply about, will you trust me? Because if I've been doing something all night or every day and it hasn't worked yet, and God shows up and says, hey, try one more time. Really? Y'all know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. But when God shows up and gives you that word, that one more time is not going to be the same results. That next time that you follow the simple instructions and you walk in simple obedience is going to be the time that you get the thing that you've been looking for. It's going to be the time that you get that healing and that you get that financial breakthrough and that you get that breakthrough in your family and things that were broken start to come back together. It's not going to be because of your ability. It's going to be because of your obedience. And if we overlook the small things, like I said, many of us, if God told us right now to go give everything away, we'd probably do it in a heartbeat. Because people would be able to look at us and say, you're awesome, you're amazing. Boy, I don't know if I could have done that. But if he tells you to do something simple that nobody's going to notice, something that you possibly do on a regular basis anyway, something that doesn't take skill and doesn't take ability and doesn't take all this other stuff, sometimes we overlook that and we miss it. And if we're not careful, we can miss out on what God wants to give us because, God, that's too easy. It shouldn't be that easy. But no matter what it is, when God gives you the instruction, it doesn't matter if you've done it a million times before and it didn't work. If God gives you the instruction, it'll work. If God tells you to do it and you obey, it'll work. And on the flip side, if God didn't tell you to do it, it ain't going to work for you like it worked for somebody else. Just because it worked for somebody else doesn't mean you can do what they did and get what they got. God told Naaman to wash 7 times in the river. He told the other 10 to go show themselves to the priest. If either of them, and they all got healed. We see the end of the story. Naaman finally gives in and he goes and he washes in the Jordan. And the Bible says that he was healed and his skin became as smooth as a child. Not only was it healed, but it was restored to a better condition than when he showed up. Not only was his issue taken care of, but it was exceedingly abundantly more than what he was looking for. Naaman was just looking for healing. I don't even know if he wanted scars to go away. He just didn't want sores anymore. He probably would have been okay with scars because his scars would have told a story. His scars would have given him a reminder. But God said, I'm going to take the sores. I'm going to take the scars. I'm going to restore you back to before you even had it. So now you're going to have an even better story to tell. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what situation you're in that you didn't ask for, that you have no control over, that you've brought to God a million times before. I want to tell you, if you will obey the instructions that he gives, no matter what you think about it, no matter what it looks like, and no matter how big or how small, not only will you get your breakthrough, but it'll be better than before you had the issue in the first place. The word tells us that God will redeem the days and the times that the locust has eaten. The things that you already thought were gone. He said, I'll redeem the times the locust has eaten. You may think it's already been destroyed. You may think it's too late. You may think there's nothing that can do. God says, I'll redeem it. I'll bring it back. Whatever situation you're facing this morning, whether you've just graduated high school, you've graduated college, or maybe you're working on your degree from the school of life, no matter what you face, God wants to move, and he's going to move in the way that benefits you the most. If that's through being anointed with oil and laying on of hands, then that's what he does. But if it's through giving you instruction and then waiting on your obedience, then that's what he will do. And if we'll learn from Naaman's example, and we'll pay attention to when that instruction comes, then we'll get it. But if not, we'll be like Naaman, and you might miss it. And not only will you miss it, it may even get worse. Because if Naaman would have left, like I said, now he's got leprosy and he's mad. He probably already mad, but he would have been even madder. So I want to encourage you this morning. Don't get disappointed if you don't get your miracle the way you thought. Maybe that's not the way God wants to deliver it to you. But what I do know is this, is that God does want to deliver it to you. We just have to make sure we're willing to receive it the way he wants to give it. Amen. Amen. Y'all stand up on your feet with me this morning. Some of us find ourselves in cycles because we have yet to obey. I hear Holy Spirit saying that there's somebody, I've already told you what to do, you just need to do it. And until then, you're going to stay in this cycle. You're going to stay in the same place. And I don't know who that's for. I don't know what situation you're in. I just hear that right now. I've already told you what to do. You just need to obey. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to let you close this out this morning.
Amen. You know, I meant to mention this morning. Some of you have youth that sit under Chris and Joy, and you need to meet Joy too. How many of you know Joy's awesome? Where are you, Joy? We love you guys. And, you know, some of you have children in children's church, and they're getting ready to come up. I want you to be exposed to the teaching that they're getting, to the anointing that they're sitting under. And we thank God for the anointing that's on Chris and Joy for going forward. And I like to, when I hear preachers preach, I'm feeding myself. I made notes. Hallelujah. Don't let your thoughts take over. Don't let your senses rule. Listen to the right people. And I put in there, find a Barnabas. And then number four, don't overlook the simple. Chris, thank you, brother. Well done. Awesome. Anointed. Meat on the bone. Are we blessed in this house or what? We are blessed in this house. And we thank God for you and Joy and for your family and for the awesome example that you are in leading our youth. And we're believing God for great things to happen in the future. Well, amen. We've already had an altar call today, so you guys take a few minutes, come up and greet Chris. Joy, come up here with him, would you? And bring all your family if you want to. How many of y'all got now? I can't keep up with them all. Because they adopt as well as, how many you have? Seven total. All right, so they keep adding, and I can't keep up with them all, but what a blessing that they are. Come up and greet them today, and God bless you guys. Some of you in Faith Academy, we'll see you at 2:30 this afternoon. God bless you. We love you. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.